Toddcast podcast. I'm a guy named Todd.
And I'm a guy named Eric. Join in our conversation as we discuss anything
and everything.
Pointless debates,
music, Star Wars,
nerd culture,
and so much more. There are no scripts,
no show notes. Commuters, sit back and enjoy the ride.
The Toddcast podcast starts now. So here's the question, Eric. We're just going to go this route.
Okay.
And by the way, hello, welcome to Toddcast. I've got Eric with me, blah, blah, blah. Eric, what would you say is your earliest memory? Like, if you think back to childhood, what is the oldest thing that you can think of, like memories?
I have to go through my brain and figure out locations, because I have early memories of different houses. So then I have to figure out, I was like, you can't really tell what was a memory or not, but I can tell the location just by timelines. So,
okay.
I think when we got, I believe we gave away a dog. It was a dog, and I recall watching Sesame Street playing with blocks when we gave that dog away. That is probably my earliest memory. I would have been 3, maybe.
Okay.
So that is my earliest of early memories. And then, therefore, I have a couple other ones that string right after moving. I remember moving probably from that house. It might have been a different house.
Yep.
I remember that. And then, I, for whatever reason, I do remember like a nap time. When I was in the house that I lived for, you know, 10, 15 years. So I'm guessing it was 3. Todd, you tell me, you're the inside baseball guy. When the heck did we give away a dog?
So we've had dogs in the past. Like, I grew up there. I remember there being a couple of dogs, but those would have both been gone before you showed up on the scene.
Right. This was like Lady. This was like a
dog.
Yes,
it was a dog called
rid of me or getting rid of it because of me, more than likely.
No, we got rid of it because it was what's a nice way to say it was a flea bag. It was consistently a flea producing agent in the house. And that
could be like that.
While that never really bothered me or Dad, I don't know what it is about us and our blood that fleas just are not interested, but Mom would get eaten the fuck up. And we're like, yep, no, we can't have this. Like, because it did not matter how many flea collars or dips or baths or whatever. Like, it just, the thing was a flea magnet. It was a good dog. We had it for a very brief period when we lived in Yorkville. And so that has to be the dog that was given away.
Yeah.
And then the move would be then us going from Yorkville to Martin's Ferry. So all that,
I do know that
makes in 3 seems like that would be that seems as right as anything, because that would have been made it like 87.
That sounds right.
About right. That sounds about the time frame that it would have been. So that makes sense. Cool.
Good. I'm glad.
Cool. Good.
Where were you going with this, Todd?
I wanted to see how the Book of Eric would begin, and that's what we've got. So, the Book of Eric starts with you. Did you have particular feelings about this dog, or you just remember there being like you were so young? It's like, yep, there's a dog. Well, there was a dog.
No. Yeah. The Book of Eric starts out of the back to tank, immediately playing with blocks. Now, these were like foam blocks. They weren't the like hard. You remember, like, they were almost like stuff you play in baths almost nowadays. They were like they were like foamy block type things. And they might even have been, we had boards. We had like foam boards that had the letters in it.
And it was like a puzzle type situation.
Right. So I remember playing with those, and of course it was and that house. Just the memories, like the weird thing about memories are, like, you can remember very vague. It's like a dream. It really does feel like a dream now, because obviously I remember Sesame Street. I remember these blocks, and I remember that we had a mat. It was like a green, like grass mat. It was like a floor mat, but it was made like to be texture of or pretend to be grass.
Right.
And I don't know where the hell that was, but I do remember that specifically. And there was some type of staircase, but everything seemed very white in this memory. Like, everything was very white and was, you know, I couldn't picture who the guy was or girl that came to the house to take the dog.
Right.
And And I just recall it being a lot more open and green, almost like almost what you would see in movies from like the outside. Like we were living on like a goddamn ranch or something that you would see in Wizard of Oz, which I know is not true. Right.
Correct.
It just, yeah. Just seemed like that to me. And that's where I'm like, what the hell? And Lord knows why that, I mean, obviously it's, I guess it was traumatic, but I didn't think I gave a damn about the dog. I don't even remember the dog. Obviously I don't have any feelings before. So I don't know how I really felt, but maybe it was just one of those like traumatic type things that stands out. But yeah, that, to be quite honest, that just seems like any other moment in life.
Yeah, I think that and listener Crystal can fill us in on this after the fact. I feel like I don't know that the dog was Crystal's per se. I feel like it was a family dog. I feel like they specifically did not allocate it to a child.
Right.
Per se. But I feel like Crystal felt like Lady was her dog. Like I feel like we got the dog because Crystal was having fits and wanted a dog. This one showed up somehow on our radar. We're like, all right, we'll give this a shot. And then it had to go. And I feel like it messed Crystal up a little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
So maybe some of that spilled over. Maybe made your little 3-year-old brain think that it was way more important to you than it actually was to you because Crystal so worked up. That's it. These are just wild theories, Eric. I've got almost nothing to back this up.
Well, until Crystal decides
to jump in and vouch for any of this.
Hey, we'll take it. That is the first memory. And once again, you said that was a Yorkville house.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds right. Which is Yorkville. Like I could understand there was a house out in like what, Mount Pleasant or something that was kind of what I envisioned. Pleasant Grove.
Pleasant Grove was out in the hills. You know, it was a standalone unit. We had neighbors, but they weren't super close. Sort of the deal. Whereas Yorkville, that house was actually built into the side of the hill.
Right.
Basically.
That's what I'm saying. I'm probably combining not two memories, but creating this fictional land, probably saying, hey, but I don't, did I live at the other house?
You did. Because we only lived in Yorkville for like a year. I was there for all of sixth grade and like the first 9 weeks of the seventh grade. And so reverse engineering that
right.
is more math than I intend to do this morning. And I was
not
prepared
that
for that.
But all right, well,
I can tell you that you were alive. You were at the other house.
Okay.
It doesn't surprise me that you have almost no memory of it because you'd have been so young.
Right.
Yeah.
So it is definitely possible for me to have combined memories and pictured the field and the grass and all that from the old house, but yet the dog being delivered from the new house.
Yeah.
So then when we moved directly from Yorkville to Martin's Ferry. Is that what you were saying?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Cause I do have distinct memories of that. So the fact is, I don't know. It was rainy enough. There was like some type of deck or porch. And I recall we had a giant black type van and that was loaded up. And I do recall there was a Easter bunny, inflatable Easter bunny, which seemed huge at the time. But I imagine at this point in time, it was probably just a standard, you know, teddy bear, maybe slightly larger than a teddy bear, inflatable Easter bunny, right?
Yeah.
And it was yellow. It was half deflated. But you guys must have decided that you were going to leave that at this house. Right. But I remember going across in socks that got soggy because I walked across the deck and made sure that you guys put this in the van, what have you, to make sure we took to the new house. So I remember that distinctively. And then I also remember sitting in the van driving over to the new house. So I don't remember seeing the new house. I don't remember leaving the old house. I don't remember anything else. I do remember that distinct traveling in. And I must have been sitting in a middle, probably wasn't in a seat because this was the
80s. Back in the day, that wasn't, that was not.
Right. And you're just trying to make sure that, So I was probably shoved between things. And that made the trek over, which that would have been, those probably would have been, I mean, all within the same year. So if I was three, we moved over there.
Yeah.
And so those would be the earliest memories. And I guess I remember our first move and the first time we got rid of a dog. Right. And then your third random memory that was at the new house. Nap time. I was in the very front room of our new house. So yeah. Over the years, we decided to move for different rooms at different times. Most of the time, we had three bedrooms up top. And yep. There was one in the front that was kind of like had windows and faced the road. We had a middle one that kind of had windows facing the alley. And then the one closest to the bathroom had, you know, windows on probably just the alley. I don't know. Yeah. But we must have started. And it was probably you and I, I'm guessing, or might have been Crystal and I don't know. We were in the very front room, which seemed to be the largest room. And I do recall middle of the day, like it's nap time. And was put upstairs to go to sleep. And instead I played with the micro men, or what are those little muscle men?
I just remember
playing with muscle men while I was supposed to be sleeping. and that, like, all right, there we go. That's the only memory I really have of that being my bedroom. Everything therefore switched. And I think you and I were in the middle room towards the alley forever. But for some reason, memory is cooked up, and I'm like, well, those are three memories, and I have no idea. It's probably three or four in all those, and and that forever is what's ingrained as earliest memories.
Nice. Excellent. Yeah, and the house we were in, the upstairs, the front room was our bedroom at first. I can confirm this for you.
Right.
I can't remember why we switched. I think just every now and again, we're just like, yeah, we want to switch it up. It's kind of like mom would rearrange rooms.
Oh, yeah.
Just to switch things up. And I remember.
I know somebody that does that.
Rearranging our room. You're right. To do stuff. And I feel like there was just one point where, because it was always one bedroom for mom and dad, one bedroom for the boys, me and you. And then there was one bedroom for Crystal and Dawn.
Right.
And at some point we decided that there was a decision made to swap the boys with the girls, and that put us in the middle room. And I honestly couldn't begin to tell you why we decided to do that, or who cares, you know, point was. But,
right. Well, the girls got the big one, and then I remember it swapped back around where when Dawn moved out, Crystal got. So I knew Crystal mostly in the tinier room, but that makes sense that, you know, and then mom and dad always had the big one. That's always how I, remember almost all the time. I do remember a time where mom and dad were in the small room. And a lot of these comes down. I mean, some of these memories all come down to like, all right, I remember this stuff because that's where we would go to wake them up on Christmas morning. Like that's primarily. Right. So a lot of these memories are from actual goddamn like holidays. And that's how I like, I don't know why we would, I don't know. It's just a normal.
When else do you care about your parents' room? You're not, you know, you don't care. What's important is, you know, the time you spend in there, the 20 minutes waiting for trying to wake them up to go get Christmas happening. And dang it, he's just not waking up and you're stuck in this room. Like, you know, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And that is indeed what actually happened. And, you know, from that moment on, it'd be tough for me to pick out different memories. You would almost have to say, well, from that point on, I'm sure there's core memories of different events and different things. But 3, 4, 5, 6, I do remember early on. So it would have been like kindergarten memories or less than. I remember having to catch buses. Right. So school bus. But I wasn't yet in school. So I do recall having to walk over to the old high school. So there was an old high school, and it was rainy again, because why not? And we would go in this like weird, it was like underground cellar type thing. So it would go underground. So they had like the basement, and you know how you have steps going under. And a lot of times you would have like these doors, like cellar door type things that go over the steps. For whatever reason, just to kind of block it. Well, they had a big one that was over where the bus stop was. And if it was raining, they'd leave like one side down. So you'd go under there and you'd wait under there so you wouldn't get soaking wet. So I recall doing that. And it's probably Crystal going off to school. So that would have been, once again, a 4 or 5, you know, year type memory. Moving forward towards, all right, I do remember going to what they would have called preschool, which was... at the library. What was that called? Reading time or
I mean there was a summer reading program. There was story time sort of a deal.
I think it was like a story time, but that was like the preschool type thing where they left you. You were there with like people for longer periods of time. So I didn't do preschool. Like I didn't have a preschool. I went right to kindergarten, but that was the equivalent of, and there was some fancy name and it might've been story time. And I do recall everything seems so big when you're little, you know, you go into the library and you would go down and, you know, when you go to the library, we went to the library all the freaking time. Right.
Oh yeah. We lived in the library.
Right. So we'd go to the library and you would be on that main floor, but they actually took you under. You got to go down the secret staircase. And paper mache, there was like paper mache art. And it was so like, it seemed like a damn museum to me. Nowadays I'd see paper mache and I'm like, all right, that was made by a fifth grader. Oh, that was made by a seventh grader. This is just, this is their damn art project. Like, but they had paper mache art throughout and I was just amazed by it and I just thought that was like the coolest damn thing. Here's just, remember the goddamn Wizard of Oz wall over in the children's section?
Oh yeah,
over, I forgot all about that until we just but like that library was kind of magical in that aspect, where it was like, and this was like the foreign area and you took down and we had story time and Lord knows if I know what the hell we did or even what that room looked like, but I do damn remember those paper maches and just being awed by all that magnificent art. It was like we went to the goddamn Smithsonian, and that was pretty much the early memories of, I guess, my first schooling experience, if you want to call it that. I know it sounds really weird now, but that's how I always deemed it. And Mom would always say, you know, you didn't go to preschool, you went to story time or whatever the hell it was called.
Well, that's the thing. You start talking about preschool, I'm like hell you went to preschool. We weren't in that kind of a tax bracket. There was no preschool happening.
Right.
Preschool for us was, two episodes of Sesame Street back to back with Mr. Rogers thrown in the middle.
Right.
I could see how us in our low income, whatever would be like story time at the library. Yeah. This is preschool. We'll go with that.
Right. And I don't know. I mean,
there's nothing wrong with that.
As prevalent back then. It's tough for me to even know.
It's hard for me to say because like I said, we weren't the people who were ever going to be able to do that anyway. And it just didn't apply. So like I didn't know of people who, you know, when you're 12, unless one of your friends has a sibling in preschool, what the fuck do you know for preschool?
Right.
Right.
No, I don't know much about preschool, but that was somewhat of our preschool experience as I can tell. Besides that, I mean, that, you know, I do have maybe one or two memories of kindergarten. We went to I was in a weird situation where kindergarten for me was in middle, it is an Elm school. So of course it's torn down and there's a house there now, but Elm school at the time was a kindergarten through
seven.
Was it seven? Yeah.
Cause I went to Elm school. Like when we moved to Martin's Ferry, the first, you know, year was seventh group that I had there was seventh grade and it was at Elm school.
Right. Yeah. So but it changed the next year, I believe, or so forth. Cause I ended up going to, so I had kindergarten and I remember not necessarily caring for the teacher. She seemed mean and like was an older lady. And by that time she was probably 30.
Right.
Like, and, no. You know, yeah. And, but she, you know, I can't remember her name
old,
at the moment.
So old.
Yeah. But ancient. But I don't remember. And it was like you did AM or PM. So kindergarten still wasn't even a full day. Oh, so I was like an AM class.
Yeah.
So I did the AM class and I recall, you know, obviously making some friends there, that, you know, I don't know if I kept, I probably don't, some of them, I don't know, looking at a yearbook, I'd have to look at a yearbook and see. I feel like there was a couple friends I made and I kept them throughout the years, through elementary. So you would go to Elm school and then the next year we went to South school, which was down on the south end of town, right next to a place called Nichols Bakery. And it's always smelled wonderful. I went, you know, South school was 1 through 4 and, you know, various memories there. And this is probably when I started least developing more core memories, mostly dealing with sports and so forth. But kindergarten, not many. I remember this one time, I think I might have, like, there was something I got called to the front of the classroom for. But, like, that's your only core memory there. I'm trying to go back into first grade and see if there's any goddamn core memories. I remember getting my picture taken outside. It was real hot, and I know where that picture is. And it's funny how pictures can trigger memories. Like, oh, yeah. I was going through an exercise with the kids, and it seemed like they would remember a lot of things that we had pictures or videos of, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's like, do you really remember that, or did you see a picture and now you remember it because of that, or how do those intersect, right?
Okay.
What's your thoughts on that? Because that's, you know, that is something I started noticing. I'm like, all right, do you remember more things because you have the picture than that can continuously loop in your head, and you're like, oh, yeah. And if you have those pictures, that causes that memory to stay with you. Or are you just thinking you remember? It's interesting to me.
Oh, no, that's fair. And this is going to sound Professor Toddy, and it's about 30% Professor Toddy.
That's fine.
And 70%, hey, I remember reading a thing one day.
Right.
Sort of thing. So take all this with all the grains of salt. But I feel like there are theories that, like, your memory is, like, holographic. Like, something happens, and you kind of, like, it's kind of fixed in your brain in, like, images and stuff. It's okay. Not, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so whenever you remember something, you're kind of, like, playing back the tape is like a way to describe it.
Right.
And the more you play back the tape, the more those images get pushed into your brain, like, get reinforced in your brain and makes the memories stronger, sort of deal.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking.
So,
too. Yeah.
Well, and so if you think you remember a thing and you regularly go back to remember that thing, whatever it is that you think you're remembering becomes your memory. You know what I mean? So, like,
right.
If you were to show me a picture of me when we lived on the island, which is when I'm so young, I barely remember, you know what I mean?
Right.
And you show me a picture of me in front of, you know, this oak tree, and I have no memory of this oak tree, but you're like, oh yeah, we used to walk on to school, we used to stop under this oak tree and have peanut butter sandwiches. And, you know, you tell me that long enough, or if I think about that enough, or, oh, I have a peanut butter sandwich, I'm like, oh, I remember. You know, after a while, you, whether you did or not, in your brain, you stopped under this fucking oak tree every day taking Dawn to school. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think there's some merit to what you're saying there. Like, if there's pictures, I feel like you're more likely to have some kind of memory of that.
Right.
The question is how valid is that actual memory, and how much of that is nonsense you're just putting in there yourself? And because you've told you're basically gaslighting yourself
right.
is possible. Like, I'm not saying that's what happened. But it is,
no,
it
that's
is a potential.
That's kind of what I was thinking, is that, like, why would I remember, of all things, getting my goddamn picture taken out in front of the school? Except for that is, like, one of the few pictures. Mind you, I do not have a lot of pictures of myself, right?
No.
It wasn't actually even, it was years later, years. I'm talking 7-10 years later that mom and dad finally got the pictures of the time I was young developed. Like, they found it, and they're like, hey, we got all these pictures, let's go get them developed. And I'm like, oh my God, there's actually pictures of me as a child. I thought I was always 7 or 8. Because I don't know what it was. I mean, it has to be that whole, like, yeah, if you're a fourth child, we're a lot older now. We're dealing with 3 other kids. Yeah, we don't have time to take pictures of you eating oatmeal for the first time, or you doing this, and there were no videos and cameras. So now, granted, there's more of me from probably 3rd to 8th grade on camera than anything you have.
Oh,
right? Like, I have
100%.
My entire elementary and middle school years are completely documented with moving audio and video and so forth. But the early days, there might be 10 pictures of me from the ages of, like, 0 to 5. Right. It's just, there's not a lot.
Yeah.
And when those were discovered, I was pretty amazed. But I mean, we didn't get those developed until, like, 96. And in 96, I was in 6th grade.
Right.
So the pictures we have now of me, they're few and far between. So I look back, and there's, like, a Christmas, right? And I look back at the pictures now, and I kind of vaguely think that I remember that Christmas. But do I really? Yeah. Probably not. It's just one of those things where I'm like, oh, I remember that toy, and I remember that toy. So maybe molding those memories together, there becomes an actual thing that actually happened there. But from a narrative arc, there's not much that happens.
Yeah, most human children do not have much of a narrative arc, Eric, so don't feel bad about that. You know,
this is more of a collection of like, all right, what more, why the hell are these memories? And no, there's no traumatic story about a bunny rabbit or a dog that come back and haunt me or motivate me to do anything great in life thereafter. There's absolutely nothing. Muscle Men probably will not get another mention. You know, nap time. I don't even recall ever having nap time before.
That's the thing. I'm trying to remember you having a nap time because I remember growing up, I remember there being naps.
Right.
But I don't remember being told to take a nap. Like once I started school, once kindergarten happened, I don't remember that being a thing. And, you know, obviously I'm older. And so you would think that I would remember it being nap time for, you know, little Crystal or little Eric. I don't. I mean, but again, I was older. Whenever it was nap time for Eric, young Todd might have been, oh, cool, some peace and quiet.
Right.
And, well, that's, and not I'm think assuming I was just sent it. Off.
Right. Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure I was just sent off.
Yeah.
To be like, all right, he's driving us crazy. Get him the fuck out of here. Which is fair, because I've done that many a times. I mean, that we don't really have nap time in this house, but I'll say, you need to go take a nap and just say, go to your room and play, which it sounds like I did. At that point in time, I mean, I think in the wonderful opening dialogues of the Book of Eric, there were early memories. They have no substance, but this will be nice to keep in catalog for when I'm really old and gray and really have no memories. But for some reason, I'll probably always keep these cores. There's no pictures to verify, but this stuff did happen. So they are authentic memories. There's no falsehood here.
Fantastic.
So that's what we got. We'll maybe we'll pick up and we'll talk about South School and probably my journey into sports and friendship and all that jazz, and see if there's any fun stories along the way. But if not, this was a great episode for people like Dawn and Crystal.
That's right. Special shout outs to the Sibs. Perfect. Well, back to the back to tank with you, Eric.
Thank you.
You can please regrow some more of those memories for us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing that with us. Thank you, listeners, for hanging in. And until next time, I hope you all have a good one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Toddcast Podcast.
If you have comments, questions, or topic ideas you'd like us to chat about, you can reach out on social.
Search for Toddcast Podcast.
Visit our website at toddcastpodcast.com with a single D in Todd.
There you will find show notes, original articles, and a backlog of episodes.
If you'd enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share with your like-minded friends.
Perhaps you would consider subscribing, following, or marking this podcast as a favorite if you've not yet done so.
And of course, reviews and ratings on Apple Podcasts are appreciated.
Thanks again for listening to the Toddcast.